You agreed to this. You agreed to this.
You know who's not going to like it? He's sitting in the studio next to us.
Well, we're mass communicating here.
Imaging.
We're mass communicating here. Welcome to the Seth and Chris Show. I'm Seth Leibson. He's Chris Buskirk. It is Monday, November 20th.
We're joined by a special guest who I've been looking forward to for a while since I booked him. Rabbi Yaakov Menken is a friend and a friend of the show. As his title would suggest, Rabbi Menken is, in fact, a rabbi. Yeah, we're good like that. We can figure these things out. And I want to talk about his perspective on some of the religious liberty issues that have been percolating out there, both legally and in our culture for a while. Rabbi, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
It's always a pleasure. I read those two items that you sent to me and was interested. You know, one of the things I know that was in a lot of religious people's minds in 2016 as we were leading up to the election, it sort of receded for the moment, but it never really goes away, is that a Hillary Clinton administration would I think, have been really disastrous for religious liberty. But so many of the issues that were on the front burner under Obama would have certainly, I think, had the heat turned up under Clinton, have been backburnered, but they're not gone. Well, what are the issues as you see them?
Well, the phenomenal change is that the Trump Justice Department has now filed in favor of the Masterpiece Bakery baker, Jack Phillips. The Masterpiece Bakery case, of course, is the fellow who refused to bake a cake for a same-gender marriage. He didn't have a problem with baking cakes for gay people. It's a false depiction of what the situation is. It's all about the fake news surrounding the actual story. He just said, I regard my creativity as a celebration of my religion, and I participate in the religious sacrament of marriage when I design a cake. And so for me to participate in a same-sex marriage would be violating my faith. And for that, he was sued for discrimination.
Right. Right. And so how...
You should know about thoroughly the fake news is. I think you'll love this. I'm now Rabbi Space Alien.
Why is that?
You're going to love this. Because ever heard of the Centennial Institute, Colorado Christian University's think tank on public policy?
Mm-hmm.
They had a rally because, in fact, they're in Lakewood, Colorado, right where Masterpiece Bakery is. And they had a rally for Jack Phillips, and they asked me to come speak at the rally and join everybody else. And I kind of warned everybody. I said, you know, the fake news is fake news. I told a really terrible pun, and then I said, don't boo, because you know how the media will broadcast this. Christian University boos rabbi.
Right, right, exactly.
Right? You know that's what's coming. Okay, so then I make a very good example of, I said, the courts are confused because there's only two genders to work with. That's why they're getting confused between saying I can only participate in a biblical marriage, which is one man and one woman, like it says in the book of Genesis, versus discriminating against something else. And I said if space aliens come to Earth, they would solve the problem. Space aliens are, of course, not a matter of same gender. E.T. comes to the planet Earth, and the courts decide that Bill or Sally can marry E.T., but the problem is that's not a biblical marriage. It's not between one man and one woman, despite what it says on Star Trek. They're not going to be able to procreate, have children with human beings. Therefore, Jack can't bake him a cake. See? The whole point of that example, of course, is to find something that has nothing to do with gay marriage. And yet, in certain segments of the media, that was immediately portrayed as rabbi compares gays to space aliens.
What is, let me ask you this, is how big an issue?
I'm not making this up.
Look, we see it all the time. My stock example here is to say that if Donald Trump was seen walking across the top of the White House pool, meaning walking on water, the New York Times would blare a headline the following morning, President Trump can't swim.
Yes. Exactly.
Right? I mean, it's all how you portray these things. But you know the issue that that I know you're concerned about, I am too, is how the courts and some of these some of the civil rights offices that are buried within state government and federal government, how are they handling religious liberty issues today under the Trump administration, and how has that changed, or if it has?
I don't know that it has changed. None of the court cases have been dropped. There are five or six other cases coming through the courts that are all waiting to see what the Masterpiece Bakery decision will be. There's a florist in Washington. There's a media company in Massachusetts and a T-shirt producer, if I'm not mistaken, in the South, I think Kentucky or something like that, all who were represented at this rally because all of their cases are following on the tails of Masterpiece Bakery. And from what I understood, none of them have been dropped yet.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very – that is alarming, but it's not as if Trump can himself change who the judges are. He can
right.
only appoint new ones when they retire.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So let me ask you this. From your perspective as a rabbi in the Orthodox community, what do you see as the main threats to religious liberty right now? What are the things that we need to be paying attention to?
I honestly think that that case, the Masterpiece Bakery, is probably the biggest one on the horizon. There are all sorts of little things going on. There was a this is another very important case. In Florida, Pensacola, Florida, had a cross on public property, displayed there for like 80 years, and along comes a group of people claiming to be offended observers. They're bothered by seeing that there's a religious display. Well, that if that were allowed to have any credibility at all, then that means that in the future, a jurisdiction might be afraid to allow any religious activity to take place on public property because then they might get sued. Even the fact of a lawsuit, obviously, even the threat of a lawsuit. You know, there's something called SLAPP, lawsuit designed to prevent public participation. The threat of a lawsuit is something which prevents people from doing things they ought to be allowed to do.
Well, sure, and you see this. You see this with institutions, and you know, whether it be businesses or nonprofit institutions, like a university in this case, or towns, counties, cities, those sorts of things. They just don't want the headache. They don't want to.
Exactly.
They don't want to spend
exactly.
the money. They
once
don't want the headache.
Have,
so it's easier for them to just fold.
Once you have a headache, you have a problem. So Masterpiece Bakery is one type of case. The offended observer is another, where all of a sudden, you know, people can get, and of course, you know, we come at it from, the Jewish community comes at it from the perspective of a minority religious community, which has all too often seen itself on the wrong end of bigotry and discrimination. And we're very sensitive to the idea that those could be used as cudgels to, you know, to use the court system to trample civil rights instead of enhance them. Which is exactly what's going on in the Masterpiece Bakery case, but could go on in, you know, so many of these others.
Right. I mean, this is the season, right? You know, October, November, December is the season where we get cases about nativity scenes, and we get all these things every single year because there is a group of people in this country that exist in order to agitate on behalf of eliminating these observances from the public.
At what point are they not going to allow a religious group to parade down a street?
Well, I think their answer would be as soon as possible.
Thoroughfare.
Yeah,
that's true. That's true. And freedom of religion was never designed to mean freedom from ever seeing any signs of religious life in America.
And not just that, but it's action, it's practice too, right? I mean, Obama was explicit about this, which is that he hemmed that part of the First Amendment, the expression freedom of religion, into what you do on whatever your Sabbath is, whether it be Saturday or Sunday or whatever. Sure, whatever you do at a church or in a synagogue and whatever you think, okay, as long as you never talk about it, as long as you don't practice it, then fine. You know, he had this very circumscribed view of religious liberty.
Absolutely. I hear the music. I think we're going to a break.
Yeah, that's right. We're going to run into it. We're going to run into a break, Rabbi. We're going to go to this break, but on the other side of this, I just wanted to talk about how can people of faith and people who just maybe not of faith but who believe in religious liberty and in genuine tolerance, not the phony tolerance practiced and preached by the left, how can we work together in order to reinvigorate the First Amendment protections that we've held dear? We'll be right back with Rabbi Yaakov Menken. He is with the Coalition for Jewish Values. We'll be right back. I am Chris Busker. He is Seth Liebson. Welcome back to the Seth and Chris Show. We're joined by Rabbi Yaakov Menken. He is with the Coalition for Jewish Values. Rabbi, question for you. This I know a subject near and dear to you, to your heart and to mine as well. We've got we seem to always be fighting on all fronts when it comes to the First Amendment, whether it be just speech issues on the campus. Religious liberty was a big issue under the Obama administration, I think remains a big issue. I think that is the number one flashpoint of conflict between the political left and political right. It's an area that concerns me greatly. While we have this opportunity now with a Republican and president, Republican majorities in Congress, how do we make the most of this opportunity and push back to try and reinvigorate the First Amendment, the First Amendment protections that we have, in particular, as they relate to religious liberty?
It's very hard. I would start simply by noting that the First Amendment refers to the free exercise of religion.
Right.
If exercise, as I said at that rally, if exercise meant running off at the mouth, I could turn to my doctor and say, hey, according to the Supreme Court, I am exercising because I'm talking to you.
Right.
That's not what exercise means. And, of course, that's incredibly dangerous. They say Christianity is a religion of creed and Judaism is a religion of deed, which is obviously an oversimplification. But a lot of our religion is based on actions. We have to have free exercise. And, by the way, when it comes to business, I mean, we have entire bookshelves of literature, libraries worth of literature, on how to conduct business in accordance with our Jewish faith. So free exercise better mean exercise. And that's the point that really needs to be made. And you're right, we have the majorities right now. We have these opportunities. I don't know from a legislative perspective what could be put through now. But it would be wonderful if there was something that underscored the fact that exercise means exercise. It doesn't mean your ability to choose a house of worship. It doesn't mean your right to free speech. Free speech, that's a different right. That's a different one of the fundamentals. But if we're supposed to have the right of free exercise, that means how we practice and how we do. And that has to be allowed to impact how we go about our day. It's not a matter of Saturday or Sunday.
Yeah, that's right. It's about how you live. It's about how you act. The 24/7, 7 days a week.
You sound like clergy.
Right. It's like I feel like when as those words were coming out of my mouth, I felt like I was gonna, how they put those messages up on the marquee in front of churches. I'm like, oh gosh, I'm speaking in cliches here, is this something that where the Coalition for Jewish Values is involved? Is this something that where you feel like this is part of your agenda, or a place where you need to be either working with other like-minded groups or trying to push the ball forward on your own?
I think it becomes a big a role for us. We're small enough that we are starting out, so us pushing the ball forward on our own, it's probably not going to roll very far, but Our impact is magnified when we work together with other organizations. Because what is scary is that you take a traditional religious practice, rights issue, moral values, whatever, and the left will try to pigeonhole that as an evangelical position. And they call an evangelical position because that way, so certain people in the Deep South feel that way. You know, what about Catholics who agree completely? What about Mormons who agree completely? You know, that adds a certain amount. When it's Jews, when it's an entirely different religion, all of a sudden people say, oh, wait a minute, we can't pigeonhole it like that anymore.
Right.
So that's where we hope to have greatest impact on that. And that can include joining an amicus curiae in favor of public display of a cross in Pensacola, Florida, or a rally for a evangelical baker in Colorado.
Is that I just want to pause you there. Is that something that that your group did in Florida? Did you file an amicus brief?
Yes. There's a group called Jews for Religious Liberty, a wonderful fellow up in New York who heads that organization, and he tries to work with other Jewish groups who will participate in, you know, particular case, particular positions. Happens to be that that particular amicus, he got like four different Jewish organizations all to sign on.
Let me ask you this, since we're talking about your organization, CoalitionForJewishValues.org, can you just tell listeners a little bit about how the group came together and what its mission is?
Last February, we got together because it was a group of rabbis who realized that the world is hearing these liberal rabbis claiming to speak in the name of Judaism. About issues where the actual Jewish position based on Jewish sources is not only extremely different, it's exactly the opposite of what they're saying. And our vision is to, you know, a country where policymakers and citizens in general, anybody who's interested, are exposed to authentic Jewish values and authentic Jewish teachings on these issues of moral values and moral positions. Getting it from a Jewish perspective.
You make an interesting point, which I think is spot on, which irreligious people, and I don't say that as a pejorative, but irreligious people, people who just don't practice a religion, tend to view anything that has to do with religious practice or religious observance as having to do, as you kind of said, well, that's just what the weirdos in Alabama are doing, right? Whereas it turns out that politically, so many different religious, meaning those who practice their religion faithfully, align very closely on these issues, whether it be practicing/observant Jews, practicing Christians, and I'll make the distinction between Protestants and Catholics. Right, Catholics often mm-hmm. are viewed as different by people who are not religious, Mormons, etc.
And
when it comes
and Muslims,
to
by and the way.
Muslims do, and when it comes to these issues of First Amendment issues, we sure find a lot of common ground quickly, don't we?
It's because we all depend on America's tolerance for all of our varied religious practices to make it possible for us to freely practice our religion, as different as our religions may be. There may be plenty for us to argue about in a civil fashion about, you know, discussing polemics of this, that, and the other, but that is after you allow everybody the liberty to make their own choices.
We just have a little bit of time left. I want to totally change gears on you, but I just want to get a quick read on you on one thing, which is we've got Thanksgiving coming up this week. What is the perspective of the Orthodox community with regards to a secular-ish celebration like American Thanksgiving?
You know, it really depends on who you ask. There's obviously a tremendous debt of gratitude to this country for providing such a... This is a, you know, if you look at world history and European history, this is a breath of fresh air, not just for Jews, but for everybody, what we have in America. And America has really served as a beacon and a model for other countries in the West. And by the way, that's why the radicals hate America so much, because it's the leader in these freedoms. It's the leader in letting us choose to live moral lives on our own.
And for that, we must be profoundly thankful. Rabbi Yaakov Menken, thanks so much. You can find out more about his organization at coalitionforjewishvalues.org.